I guess I heard something quickly this morning. I like to listen to AMs on the scanner, and somebody passed that information, I think, on the Limark repeater. And it's sad anytime anybody dies, but it's sad on a what is, I guess, thought of as a routine flight. And I don't know how bad these do. I don't think that the weather was that bad. Well, it'll probably all come out in the wash. All right. Any other stations while we're here? Anybody else would like to check into the net? In addition to your call letters, please give us your first name. Let us know if you have info, query, or comment. Please come now.
This is ZKT, Mark in Brooklyn. No traffic at this time.
Okay, we recognize KB2ZKT. All right, let me go over to the mailbag and got a few Christmas cards. We'd like to at least say thank you to these people. First person we'd like to say thank you to is Margaret from Brentwood, Margaret and her husband. And just a beautiful card, which I'd be willing to bet, Margaret, I think Margaret's listening, this was turned out on her computer, because you can just see it's a work of art, and Margaret has those skills, so we appreciate that beautiful card. And we also got a card from Franz, and I believe Franz, and his wife, of course, and I believe Franz is also in Brentwood, too, all those hospitable people. And the other card that we got is from the gentleman that you just heard, VW2PBH, and we certainly appreciate the card. All right, let's pick up a piece of fan mail now, and this is from Don from Clifton, who has really been one of our long-time participating members. Let me drop it, WN2RED. All right, it's a kind of long letter, but it's got a lot of nice little pieces to it, so we'll move through it. Dear Ed, hope this letter finds you and yours in a holiday spirit. Yes, it does, Don. It's a hectic around our household. My daughter is getting married this Sunday, he says, December 15th. My father was right, time flies when you get older. Don, I had a daughter get married several years ago. You'll probably think of this not only as one of the happiest days of your life, but also one of the most expensive days of your life, too. Never spent as much money in one day as that wedding. He goes on, once my daughter leaves the nest, I'll be inheriting a spare room that will give me some additional space for my radios. It'll also permit me the opportunity to hook up to an external disc cone to improve my listening capabilities. And Don, while you're thinking about that, also think about transmitting, too, because I would imagine over in Clifton that you can probably still get a pretty good shot either at the 805 repeater, either from the up 600 input or even possibly from the down 600. Don goes on to say, thanks for all the responses concerning my inquiry about the base locations for Chopper 4 and Fox News Chopper. If you listened to the net last week, you realize that we did bring that question up, and we got quite a few good answers. Also, let me just drop it for a second while I pick up a card here. Got to do something about getting that desk microphone. We also got a very nice card from our good friend R, who's up in Bridgeport. As you know, we think very highly of Mr. R. He's quite the expert in the field. And here's his postcard. He says, free discussion, December 10th, net on the basis of media helicopters. There are drop-off points to pick up crews, tape, gear, talent, etc. Sometimes a videotape, that is raw, unedited footage, will be picked up by a courier on a motorcycle or a bicycle. It's the call of the concerned news director and producers on some material deemed too graphic as is. Or they'll decide to protect it from other stations getting info off it relayed to their crews. Okay, heliports, he says, New York City favorite touch and goes. In other words, these are the places where the helicopters can sort of touch down, do what they have to do, and go. first one he mentions is the Port Authority. Hope Don is listening tonight. Port Authority at West 30th Street, also known as Air Pegasus, Manhattan. All right. The next one is Downtown Manhattan Heliport, the Port Authority, Pier 6, Manhattan, South Street, near Vietnam Vet Plaza. The Island Heliport, I think this is the one we talked about last week, 34th Street and FDR Drive. Next one is Metroport, whatever they're calling the former Pan Am building between the 61st and 62nd at FDR Drive. He says, goes on to say, at times they visit Long Island landing sites, whatever is convenient, and less air traffic. Battle. Time is dollars. Time is money. And his last comment is, I know WCBS News Radio 88 Traffic Chopper lands and takes off from Teterboro Airport. Some media helicopters may refuel there. You'll hear their calls to the assignment desk. And Don finishes, finishes up with a note, happy holidays to all on the net. WN2RED. Don's letter goes on. While visiting a local pilot shop, I picked up a document printed by the FAA/NOAA called a helicopter route chart. The route chart covers the geographic area from as far east as Grumman Bethpage to as far west as Morristown, New Jersey. The route chart actually charts out the defined routes for helicopter traffic in the metro area. The chart's pretty interesting with all the details that it provides concerning frequencies, routes, airport locations, and landmarks used by pilots. I don't recall the exact price for the chart, but I know it was very reasonable, so if you're in an airport or pilot shop, drop in and ask to see a helicopter route chart. Here, Don goes on, here are some unconfirmed frequencies for Dunkin' Donuts and McDonald's. I believe these are for the new wireless sets manufactured by 3M for newer store installation. They are used for communicating with the drive-through customers. If you're ready to copy, here they come. WN2RD. Dunkin' Donuts, 920.2625. 920.2625. And 903.2625. 903.2625. Going on to McDonald's. 920.5. 903.5. 920.9625. 920.9625. And the last one, 903.9625. 903.9625. As you can see, they are paired frequencies, and he says, I'm going to plug these freaks in, see if I can hear Mickey D's and the Dunkmeisters on these frequencies. Enjoy your Christmas. He is wishing you and yours and the rest of the MLIS crew a happy, healthy, prosperous 97. Thanks for a great net year. Don, we say the same to you. Guys like you to make it a real good net year. All right. Nice letter. Type of fan mail we like to get. Next station with info. Well, Hank, why don't you spell out what you've got? I'm sure you got some scanning, and I'm sure you got some shortwave. Why don't you just tell us what you got and then proceed with the scanning. N2GCN in the net, WN2RED.
DRA would clear.
Okay, stand by for 1 second, Hank, and let's go over to Frank.
Okay, sorry, Hank. Just one quick question just to clear something up. Ed, can you give me that first frequency again? It was 920 dot...
Okay, sorry if I went too quickly. Dunkin' Donuts, first frequency is 920.2625, and the second frequency was 903.2625.
Okay, Ed, thanks a lot. I got that. Just wanted to check those out. And just one additional note on those frequencies, that they are in the wide FM mode, and you must have a scanner that you can put it into the wide FM mode or you're not going to hear it. That's the way it is on 900. Back to net.
Excellent point, Frank. Excellent point. Thanks for bringing it up. Let's go over to Hank. Hank, all yours.
Okay, thank you, WN2RED, N2GC. And first off, I want to say to Frank, thank you very much for the information you sent me. Frank sent me a listing of Metropolitan Suburban Bus Authority. I tried it out. I haven't heard anything on their rate so far. I guess they are Trump now, but they keep on trying. The other thing, before I get to my logging, so I got three frequencies, is on 128.700. I did try it out throughout the week. I heard absolutely nothing on air, so possibly that Muston, Quebec is too far from New York to hear the Concorde. I don't know, but I kept trying from Friday, from last Tuesday through today, and heard nothing on 128.700. So we're going to keep on trying to see what we can hear, but maybe too far out of range for us to try it. All right, before I get to that, too, well, I do have, and I also have AM, I also have a product review, or actually not a review, but mentioned something about a couple of radios I heard about the other day, or, well, I'll tell you, you'll see what I mean later. But here's my information. First off, this is NTGCN. 131.850, it's 131.850 in PHF AM at 2:18 p.m. Aeronautical Mobile, the call is KUV3. Kilo Uniform Victor 3, John F. Kennedy Airport. This is a route station. Heard a Lufthansa flight. The whole communication was in German, but that's near the ear that's over there. Anyway, that was December 16th. Next one on 127.425. 127.425 at VHF AM at 6:56 p.m. Aeronautical Mobile, this is the one I was telling you about where I can hear the aircraft working the remote site in Virginia. And here's the, anyway, here's the full detail. KZDC, Washington Center Air Traffic Control Center. Remote site is Whaleyville, Virginia, which is south of Chesapeake. And the altitude was high, or USF flight 831. On this one, I could hear the aircraft on the 128.7. I heard nothing at all. It was a dead frequency. And the last one I have for the week is on 129.750. Again, it's 129.750 in VHF AM at 4:17 p.m. Aeronautical Mobile, calls KEA-5, Kilo Echo Alpha 5, New York Radio, Bohemian, New York. This is an route station. I heard KLM, flight 641, calling JFK, his company, obviously. He was asking about the weather conditions from yesterday and how's the visibility at Kennedy Airport. They did have a great deal of delays with, I guess, holding patterns, so he was checking out and seeing what was going on. That was on December 16th, so once again, I have other information besides Troy than AM. So back to you, WN2RED and 2GCN, over to you.
Thank you, Hank. Okay, product and AM. All right, any other stations that would like to check into the net at this time, in addition to your call letters, please give us your first name. And let us know if you have info, query, or comment. Anybody else who'd like to check in, please come back.
Ed, KB2YOS, can you put me down for scanner info?
We got you, KB2YOS for scanner info. We will pick you up in turn. Anybody else before we move on? Okay, got a nice note today. You'll probably think this is a teaser, and I guess it is. But this is something which ultimately, meaning like January, will turn into a newsletter article. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, we also, our group, also publishes a newsletter, a monthly newsletter. In fact, we're up to number 72. This is the end of the sixth year for monitoring Long Island Sound. And what we do with the newsletter generally runs, on an average, about 6 pages every month. And it's got articles and frequencies and so forth, which all tie into the monitoring Long Island Sound area. We don't give you the frequency for the Podunk, Iowa Police Department or anything like that. It's everything in the NLIS area. We've had somebody who has been sending us, he just finished a three-part set of articles on marine frequencies, which is great. And got a note from him today, and this is the teaser part, and when we get to the numbers and so forth, What we're going to do is put them into the newsletter. Of course, the newsletter goes to a kind of narrower group of people, and if you put something out on the air, you just don't know where it's going. WN2RED. So, here is the teaser part. We're not doing this on purpose. We just want to give you some information that is of some help, at the same time not compromising anything. From our friend, I recently got a chance to get a close look at one of the 800 megahertz portables that Suffolk County Police Department is now using. Fortunately, they will be simulcasting through all of 1997 as of now. And by simulcasting, it simply means that they'll be, when a Suffolk PD signal goes out on the air, it's not only going out in the 800 megahertz range, it's also going out on the present frequency range. So our source is pretty good. They'll be simulcasting through all of 1997 as of now. Suffolk County PD is in the process of phasing in the NTS 2000 portable. All three Southside precincts, the Southside precincts of 1st, the 3rd, and the 5th, are about finished converting. The process will continue through 1997 until the three Northside precincts, and that's the 2nd, the 4th, and the 6th, until they have completed the process. The Detective Bureau, Special Operations, which is Marine, Highway, and Aviation, will also be completed in 1997. So, 97 is going to be a big year for Suffolk PD and for those who want to monitor it. Final point on the radio has 48 channels divided in three 16-channel zones, A, B, and C. And then he goes off and starts to break it down and so forth. And this is information which we are, at least not now anyway, we are not, once this gets to be common knowledge, then, you know, okay. But right now, we're not putting this information out on the air. We'll do it in a much more circumspect manner. So we do thank our friend who sent the information along. And if you are a participating member of our group, what does that mean? It means that when you check into the net, you generally have info, query, or a comment, or if you're not a ham and you can't check into the net or don't have equipment to do so, then from time to time, on a fairly regular basis, you do send us information. Which, so if you want to get on the newsletter mailing list, and if you want a sample copy, we'll tell you how in a few minutes how to get a sample copy. But if you want to get on the regular mailing list, you really have to be a participating member. We're kind of tight on this in 96. Expect us to get even tighter. Okay, next in line of our check-ins is Charlie from Baldwin, KB2UDD in the net, WN2RED. Charlie, all yours.
This is KB2UVB. Good evening to you, Ed, and everybody on the net. Hope everybody's doing okay. Ed, sorry we missed you last week. We had an emergency, job-related. I had a surprise audit from one of our big customers, Lockheed Martin, which was happened last Thursday. Fortunately, all went well. And I had some homework to take home, so I hope you excuse me. Over to you.
Well, if you're going to pass up the debt just because you've got some billion-dollar customers, Charlie. of course.
Hi, be fun.
Had a little double there, but it sounded like VRA's voice. Frank was, Frank, just stand by for 1 second. Was there anybody who doubled with Frank? Yes, not. Frank, I think you have something to say, and then we'll go back to Charlie.
Yeah, thanks, Ed. Just a rude comment. I was just going to say I'd give him a 65 and pass him anyway. Back to next.
Well, he was getting so close to graduating magna cum laude, I just don't think the 65 is going to hack it. Charlie, back to you.
Thanks, Ed, and thank you, Frank. You're all hot. What a pal. One more comment on that. Whoever heard of a blue-collar type taking work home? Anyway, If I could, before I start, I'd just like to say two quick hellos. I'd like to say hello to R up in Bridgeport, and please forgive me. I'm still getting your stuff together, and, I'm probably going to have to wait till over the holidays. I'm going to be off for a couple of days, and, we'll get everything wrapped up, and I'll have the moving van sending it up to you. So I didn't forget you, and I wish you a happy holiday. And also, we could just real quick say hi to Brian and to VBF. VRA and myself ran into him Saturday over at Sunrise Mall in Massapequa. He's working in a new store over there, and we wish him the best of luck. And it was good seeing him. And basically what I have tonight is... none of these are confirmed, but I'm going to be definitely giving them a listen, and I would recommend them. As you know, with the holiday season coming on, the Postal Service is very busy right now, and I came across some U.S. Postal Service frequencies for the metropolitan area, and I got 10 of them, and I'm going to put them out. Let me let drop. Okay, first off, we got the United States Postal Service Postal Vehicle Control. Okay, it's four frequencies, okay. And the first frequency is 165.975. 165.975. Second frequency is 168.325. 168.325. The third frequency is 171.175. 171.175. And the fourth frequency is 171.2625. 171.2625. These are vehicle control frequencies, I guess, from when I have a radio on the truck back to the post office. You know, it's my best guess. And, I might want to give them a try. The next frequency I have is for United States Postal Service Operations Supervisor. And that's on a frequency of 408.000. 408.000. Let me let it drop. This is KB2UVB. Okay, the next one I have is for United States Postal Service Operations out of JFK Mail. And frequency is 409.275. 409.275. Okay, the next one I have is for United States Postal Service Postal Inspector frequencies. And I have three of them. And the first frequency is 414.750. 414.750. The second frequency is 415.050. 415.050. And the third frequency is 416.225. 416.225. And last but not least, I have one frequency for United States Postal Service Postal Police, which is on a frequency of 418.300. 418.300. And that'll do it. That's all of them. And like I said, I haven't confirmed anything here yet, but I'd like to hear some feedback. And I'm going to be plugging them in myself, and hopefully... I'll try to have a little time this weekend in the daytime to give them a look-see. And while I got a chance, I'd like to wish everybody on the net and everybody listening, all members of MLIS and their families, a very Merry Christmas and a healthy and happy and prosperous 1997. And I'll give it back to you, Ed, and the net. WN2RED, this is KB2UBB.
KT with additional.
Okay, Mark, stand by for one moment. Okay, then KT. Thank you, Charlie. Even though they're not confirmed, I'd be willing to bet that they are pretty good.
So again, to use one of our favorite expressions, anybody who wants to take this as a homework assignment, that is, take the frequency that Charlie has given us and put them into your scanner, and just keep them in there for a week, 2 weeks, something like that. And if they are active and so forth, if you can get back and let us know, we'd certainly appreciate that. That's an excellent way to participate in the net. Okay, I think that was Mark, KB2ZKT, with additional info. Mark, take it away.
Hey, thanks, Ed. Good evening, everyone on the net. I have two postal service frequencies that I can monitor here from my location, about 8 miles west of Kennedy Airport. On 409.025, I hear truck movements, trailers between Kennedy Airport and the bulk facility in New Jersey, I think it is. And on 40.200, I hear people repairing sorting machines and doing all kinds of maintenance on mail handling equipment. That's a pretty interesting frequency to listen to, 410.200. And again, the trucks were on 409.025. Both of these are confirmed, and they're pretty busy day and night. Back to net, KB2ZKT.
Thank you very much, Mark. We appreciate that. Just put a big T next to your name on the list here. It stands for participate. That's great. Okay, 409-025, trailers somewhere between JFK and New Jersey, and 410.2, sorting machines and so forth, both frequencies confirmed. Thank you. We really appreciate that. All right, let's move. Well, let me just drop it, see if there are any follow-up questions on Charlie or on Mark. Okay, hearing nothing. Go into the mailbag again, and another stalwart of MLIS has been Russell from Rockaway. And Russ, every month, like clockwork, as they say, sends us a nice little note, and in it there's frequencies, what they're about, and so forth and so on. So he is, Russ's note, he says, on Sunday, November 24th, the day after the Amtrak derailment in Secaucus, New Jersey, on Amtrak frequencies 160.515, I repeat, 160.515 and 160.92, 160.92, Russ says, I heard workers at the scene. Other Amtrak frequencies I heard traffic on were 161.07, I repeat, 161.07, 160.8, 160.8, and 161.295, and that frequency, Russ points out, is for the Amtrak police, WN2RD. For the Thanksgiving Day Parade, Russ says frequencies he heard used were NBC TV, and that frequency is 450.3875. That's NBC TV, 450.3875, and that was TV audio. New York PD, 476.7375, 476.7375. Sanitation, 453.6, 453.6, and citywide EMS, 478.0125, 478.0125, stand by line, take a slug of water here. Good thing we didn't have the net about 4 days ago. I got my flu shot, but I got something awful close to it then. Now, Russ turns the corner here. He says, here are my AMDX logging. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Russ, I know Russ is in. I'm going to drop this in the files. I have different files here, AMDX files. So instead of jumping ahead on the subject matter, we'll give Russ his share of credit for AMDX at the appropriate time. All right, let's see, Charlie, now we come up to Walter, N1LDH, and Walter, you've got information. Take it away, it's all yours.
Thank you, Ed. Actually, I didn't have information. I had a query, and I guess I didn't spell that out very well. I have a supposedly LoJack in my car, LoJack. And I have a frequency for that of 173.075. And there was some mention of this on the net quite a while back. And I wondered if anyone could confirm that frequency. I'm not able to hear anything around the car, and so I don't know if the battery's gone dead or if in New York they changed the frequency on. Over.
UVV?
Okay, well, first of all, I apologize. I had written down info, and obviously you did say in a query at that time. Charlie recognized. 173.075 sounds good to me. It sounds like it's really right in that range. I have a comment or two later on, not about the frequency so much, but about the system. Let's go over to KB2, UVB in the net, WN2RED. Charlie?
Yeah, how you doing there, Walter? Walter, I think on LoJack, I don't think anything happens until after the vehicle's stolen. And then it's activated, and that's when you would hear it. Back over to you, Ed.
Okay, Charlie, you're right on that point, and let's go back to Mark. Mark, take it away.
Not too far from Coney Island, there's a heck of a lot of chop shops around here. So anytime you're driving through the neighborhood, just put on 173.075, and you'll hear LoJack going hard and strong. Basically, all you hear is a little digital burst, like, and that's really a very short, quick burst. And yes, it's not activated. The LoJack transmitter in your car is not activated until you report your car is stolen. Then they punch in a code, which is transmitted to your car. If the code matches, it turns on the transmitter in your car and emits that tone, which the police then track down using a radio direction finding system. KB2ZKT.
That's an excellent summary, Mark, and I don't think I could add too much to that. He's right that once you find out your car is stolen, they call the PD, and the PD, I guess, gets them, whether they turn it on or the LoJack people do or whatever, but it does start, the signal in your car has to be turned on. Is it effective? I have, without getting too deeply into it, let's say I know somebody who is involved in the tracking down, and I have had different chats with him over the years about this, and it is a very effective system. That, I'm not trying to sell LoJack, but once that signal starts burping out, and Nassau's got it, I know New York PD has it, and if you look on a police car, it's got, let's say, at least four vertical antennas on it. This is part of the this is part of the directional finding process. And inside the police car, there is a little black box, so to speak. And it has let's say it'll point in the right direction. It'll show how strong or how weak the signal is, and so forth. We have in ham radio something very similar to that. In fact, if you ever listen to 146.64 on certain Monday nights, they have what they call bunny hunts, where one amateur radio operator acts as the bunny, and he transmits, and it's the job of the others to track him down, and they can generally track him down pretty quick. It's a good system to have in the car. I'm glad Mark confirmed the frequency is 173.075. It is something that you might want to put into your scanner, and if someday it starts beeping, you'll know that somewhere in your neighborhood there is a stolen car. Let me drop it for any further comments on this subject. Okay, Walter, would you say that covers your question?
Yes, Ed. Wealth of information. Just ask the question, and you get all the answers. So thank you, Mark and Charles and you, Ed. That explains it. I got to report my car missing before I can hear at least my transmitter go. But, yeah, it's a system I've had. The car's 5 or 6 years old, so it's been there a while. And fortunately, I've never had to use it. But thank you, gentlemen. That's great information. Bio West?
It's our pleasure. I heard a gobbled something or other. It sounded like Curtis. Is that Curtis?
No, it's Steve, KB2YOS.
Sorry about that, Steve. Okay, Steve, take it away.
You just said something in regards to if you hear a beep on 173-075, that means that there is a stolen car in your neighborhood. So if that's the case, if we're tuning into that frequency, if we were to call the police department, would they send over one of their police cruisers that has the antenna system and the low jack finder, and they can say, like, you know, like, thank you for letting us know that there's a stolen car in your neighborhood? Would the police come into the neighborhood to check out that beat?
That's a good question. I'll just make an assumption. I'll make an assumption for Nassau PD. I will not make it for New York PD. I think if you are a scanner operator and your scanner is telling you that there's a, especially if it seems to be a clear, strong signal, it probably couldn't hurt to. I don't know if you want to call 911 or if you want to call the local precinct. I think the phone numbers of the local precinct are there, but I don't think it would harm you in any sense, and they might be very thankful. Of course, I might be very naive, too. Let me just drop it and see if there are any other comments or any other answers that people might have for your question, Steve. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Be all right.
Okay, Frank, thank you.
Something about the LoJack, which I had heard about, was that we know horizontal polarization for single sideband and vertical polarization for vertical FM, FM repeaters rather. But there is a another type, circular polarization, which comes into play with the low jack system, which is one of the reasons why you won't hear the tone very far at all. Back to that.
Okay. All right. Let's. I think Walter got the answer that he was looking for. Was it worth the installation and so forth, and does it work well? I can speak not from personal experience, but I can speak from somebody else's personal experience that, yes, that it does seem to work exceptionally well, LoJack, and it seems to be very well thought of by the PDs. All right. Not in the mailbag. I still have some more items, but last week somebody mentioned that there was a railroad net on the air, and the information that they gave out was Monday at 8 p.m. The frequency is a Grumman repeater that is 146.745. I think they gave out the call letters of net control, KB2QLE. And it was something that I made a note of because I wanted to listen to it and find out what it was all about. Several months ago, somebody, not a regular on our net, I've heard him for a couple of months, but he had the thought of setting up a railroad net, and he was looking for a repeater. So anyway, while any of you were out last night carousing at the Limark party or whatever, I turned on 8 p.m., 146.745. Sure enough, there was the Long Island Railroad Amateur Radio Club, LIRRC. And there was Joe, KB2QLE, running that control in a very business-like way. Some of the items they talked about, let me drop it, WN2RAD. Some of the items that they had talked about was that they have a 100-foot tower in Woodbury being made available to them courtesy of the LIRR. They have a new shack which is being set up in Hillside. I guess that's one of the Long Island Railroad areas in Queens. possibility of getting some equipment too. A tower along the Babylon line. The group seems to be about 2 months old. They say they're in an organizational state. And it seems to be rail and transit people. That's the mainstay of their group, rail, railroad, and transit people. However, they do welcome non-railroad people. One of the things they have to figure out, it seems, is what's the ratio going to be of railroad to non-railroad. Stand by. Bit of HTO sliding down the throat. They're looking for a repeater. They want to get better usage or better coverage west of Nassau. They seem to have a newsletter. An issue is coming out, and they hope to have meetings soon. So if you didn't have the opportunity to listen to their net last night, it is on Monday nights, 1:46, 7:45, 8 p.m. Kind of nice sandwiching. Because at 7:30 on Monday, a lot of people generally check into the 6-4 net, which is Lacey's, and they check into the Limark net at 8:30. So the net seems to run close to about 9 o'clock or so. So that's it, and I just made some notes, as you can tell, just in case you wanted to catch it in the future. Let's drop it, see if you have any questions or comments.
ZKT. Ed, what time did you say the T-Hunt net was on?
Oh, the T-Hunt, you mean the rabbit, so-called bunny hunt?
Yeah.
I think you said yeah. Therefore, I will march forward. On different Mondays, it's not every Monday. What you're going to have to do, Mark, is listen at 7:30 to 146.64, and that's the Racy's net. And generally, it's a check-in, and it's kind of business-like. That runs 15, 20 minutes. After that net is over, they then have a bunny hunt. And the bunny hunt is not the most exciting thing to listen to because it's a matter of one station transmitting, and the others are listening to him on the input and trying to track him down. They have Dopplers, as they call them, Doppler antennas, which are directional finding. And they're pretty, the 6-4 people, one I can think of is a personal friend of mine, Joe, WA2RBF. I think he's about the best bunny hunter going. He can track down anybody. So it's not an exciting thing to listen to, but various Monday nights, you're going to have to listen at the start of each net or at the end of each net just to see if there's a bunny hunt, and it's 146.64 starting at 7:30. Back to you, Mark.
Very good, Ed. That's something I'd really like to get involved with. It sounds real interesting. KB2ZKT, back to net.
It's the type of thing that really grabs some guys, and I shouldn't say it like this, but, you know, more important than sex, food, or drink, or anything like that, the chase, going after the bunny. And sometimes the bunny is stationary, but sometimes I believe the bunny is on the move. And these guys, I know Joe can, RBF, they can track you down on the move. That's how good some of these guys are. But, of course, that's kind of similar, too, to what the cops do with LoJack. It's just that what they love to do, I think, is to track somebody down, track the perp down who's still in the car. That gives you extra points, so to speak, rather than just to find the car parked on the side of the road. It's very important to get the car back, of course, but it's kind of nice to be able to pick up the perps, too. All right, let's see if there are any other stations that would like to check into the net at 901. In addition to your call letters, please give us your first name. Let us know if you have info, query, or comment. Anybody else who'd like to check in, please come now.
KB2ZNQ, Rich from the Bronx, short query.
Okay, I got you now, Rich, now that I know. I drink better brand of booze, Rich. That's all there is to it. Well, be you, Rich.
It's not related to the current topic, the query yet. Do you just want to hold it off until the turn comes around?
Okay, Rich, thank you for mentioning that. We'll put you down. Just having a query. We just have a few people in front of you, so you shouldn't have to wait too long. All right. Coming down, we have Ron. Almost missed Ron as we came down to the list here. Ron from Franklin Square. And, let's go over to Ron. WA2BWF. Ron, take it away.
Yeah, Roger, Ed. WA2BWM. Just a few items. Those bunny hunts used to be fun, Ed, about 20-25 years ago. We used to do a lot of them. I had a 72 Volkswagen Beetle, and what we used to do is we had teams. You had a guy, or we didn't have the sophisticated stuff you're mentioning now, but we had the old direction finders. Remember the little box with a loop on it? And one guy would drive, and the other guy would get the coordinates with the loop, and he'd make notes, you know, and degrees and so forth. It used to be a lot of fun. Oh, well, anyhow, on the LoJack thing, I want to mention several weeks ago on the Discover Channel, they had a program which gave you the lowdown on LoJack, and if everybody keeps checking it. How they track the signals down, how they know when a car is stolen, and how it's activated. Very interesting. I could go on and on for that with that, but it was on the Discover Channel, and as I said, everybody keeps checking their books every Sunday when they get the paper. Yeah, they may rerun that again. It was really, really an interesting program. At least I thought so. Anywho. I was listening on one frequency this morning. As you know, those of you who drive, the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel went into that Easy Pass thing this morning. And there's a frequency that the Port Authority usually uses for the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel. It's not really that active, but sometimes if you hit it, you'll hear some activity on there. 512. Megahertz is the channel. 500. Most of your scanners, that's about the limit they go. If you look in some of your Radio Shack scanners, they go up to 512. That's their limit. Well, you know, this particular channel, this is where the maintenance crews go, and the crash crews and so forth in the tunnel. And I was listening there this morning, and it was very interesting. They were having all sorts of problems with the different lanes, and guys didn't know where they were going, as you would expect. So, if anybody's interested, you might tune that in tomorrow. It'll probably still be active because this thing is only being its second day. But it was very, very interesting listening. At least I thought so. Anyway, last two items. Ed, I haven't gotten my newsletter yet. I wonder. You said you got my SASEs. I'm looking for that newsletter. I want to read Frank's article in there. So I wonder if you can comment if you sent them out or so forth. And I have one last item, and I need the Net's permission for this, Ed, your permission, that is, because I don't usually stick around till the eyeball section goes. I'm usually in bed listening to the rest of the Net because of my work hours. Can I have permission to mention one thing on that?
Okay, let me just interject you. Yes, I did get your SASEs. Our policy generally is to send out the newsletters after we get the SASE. So Frank's article was number 71, and I guess your envelopes came in after we mailed out 71. I've just made a note here. I'm going to try to find number 71 because it's hard after we send out the newsletters. We generally have few, if any, left over. That's how tight it is. So let me see if I can find 71. And if I can, I'll drop it into one of your envelopes, and that should take care of it. So back to you, Russ.
Okay, Ed, fine. Can I have permission to mention an eyeball real quick?
I think the reason that you're mentioning the eyeball is because you have to get up and the eyeballs will be coming along in about, I'm trying to gauge it here, probably 15 or 20 minutes. We generally do the scanning, then we generally do the product, then we do the eyeball. If you're trying to get off and get out, you know, of course, I know you have very early hours. If you want to mention the eyeball now, please feel free to do so. If you're not in any great hurry, we'll pick up you on the eyeball when it comes around. Again, I guess about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll make it real quick because it's something interesting that most, just about everybody in the net seems to really enjoy going to. As you know, I'm with the RC airplanes, you know, with the club and so forth down at Floyd Bennett. And I got some information that there will be, I think I mentioned this before, but I just got a confirmation letter about it again. So it is coming up this year. Tentative dates have not been set, but it probably will be in August, in the middle of the summer. I just wanted to mention some of the things that's going to be different this year. And those of you who bought cameras and saw the other planes last year, besides the bombers and the jets and so forth, they're going to have some vintage biplanes there, which you're going to find very interesting. One of which will be a British SC-5A, which is a biplane that I was used in World War One. there's going to be what do they call those, crop duster, otherwise known as a Jenny. You're going to see one of those there. And there'll be several other planes. They're working on, and I'm hoping they're going to be able to get this. There's only about three of these things left. They're working on a Fokker triplane. I don't know if any of you have ever seen World War One movies with the old German Fokker triplanes, but there's about three of them left from what I understand, and they're hoping to snag one of them in there. So that's about all I have, Ed. If I get any more information, I just want to let you guys know that there'll be a lot of goodies this year, more than you had last year. WA2BW1.
Ron, I assume you're talking about Floyd Bennett Field, and that this would be sometime in the spring. Is that correct?
That's a roger.
Follow-up on your Brooklyn Battery Tunnel frequency. You move fast. It's hard to hit a moving target. You said the frequency was 512. Are you talking about like 512 right on the button, like 512.000?
That's a roger. That's where I got them. That's why I mentioned most of your scanners have a limit. They go up to 512, and that's it. Yeah, that's where I heard them, Ed. As I say now, they're not that active. You know, when all this is over, they'll probably be dead over there, that channel. But whenever there's something going on, that's the frequency I generally get them on.
Okay. Any follow-up questions for Ron while we still have standing in one spot? All right. Let's move back to the pile of fan mail, and got a very nice note from Howard from Rockland County. In case you wonder why, when we do the call up to the net, we talk about Westchester and Rockland County. Howard has represented Rockland County for many years with MLIS. And the first paragraph is a little personal, so we won't get too deep into that. But he wraps up with, he says, I have a couple of highway frequencies which I monitor. So if you would like to monitor, or if you travel through Rockland County, anything like that, here are some frequencies, WN2RED. First one is Rockland County Highway Deposit, and the frequency is 37.18. The next one is New York State Thruway Maintenance, and that includes plows and things like that, which might be very handy in case you're supposed to be driving up towards Rockland County on a snowy morning. You might want to monitor 453.7, 453.7 as a repeater. If you're going off towards New Jersey, same maintenance and plows and so forth. The New Jersey Turnpike Authority, New Jersey Turnpike, and that frequency is 159.18, 159.18, also a repeater. And the last frequency that Howard gives is Garden State Parkway Maintenance, and I would assume that's also plows, so forth, and so on. Garden State Parkway Maintenance, the frequency is 156.12. 156.12, obviously these are confirmed frequencies, of course. A, Howard says they're frequencies which he monitors, and B, Howard is one of our stalwarts too. He does not fool around when it comes to frequencies and so forth. So, Howard, if you're listening tonight, we certainly appreciate that information. All right, anybody need a fill on any of those numbers? Okay, coming down the list now, we took care of Ron, and now we're down to Shell, KB2UR, I think it's URV, and Shell has a query on a product or something like that. Shell, if you're still there, please come down.
Late check-in at 2WWM.
Curtis recognized.
KB2URZ is Uniform Romeo Zulu, Shell, and Yonder. I'm very heavily into shortwave listening. And I was wondering if anyone's familiar with that radio chat, shortwave radio, a DX394, goes for $300. It looks pretty good. It's got 150 memories, AM, upper sideband, lower sideband, CW, and all that. And I just wonder if anybody knows anything about it or
okay, Shell, I think you stopped transmitting. That one was kind of tough. But we did get the gist of it, that you're interested in shortwave listening and that you are interested, in case anybody has had any experience or any comments about Radio Shack's shortwave radio, which runs for about $300. That, I believe, was the gist of your transmission. And it sounds like you might be in the car and so forth, and I do not have the heart to say, hey, that product, wait till later on. Anybody who has had any experience with the Radio Shack shortwave radio, the one that runs about $300, anybody has any comments, please come now.
Yes, NTGC, and what type of model, what model is it? Does he know? That's a guess, or if he knows the model, thank you, Ed.
Okay, Hank, that's an excellent question. Shell, hope you're still copying us, and I hope we can copy you. Do you happen to have the model number of the Radio Shack that you are inquiring about?
It's a DS394, DS394.
Okay, we copied that. A little scratchy, DX394, back to N2GCN.
Make sure he's on the right frequency, Ed, 2WWM.
Okay, let me give him the answer real quick. Shell, let me put you this way. Forget it. Don't buy the 394. If you buy it, you're going to get yourself a real lump. Back to you, WN2RED, N2GCN, back to you.
ERA comment.
Okay. First of all, I recognize... I love honesty and forthrightness. Okay, VRA recognized. Curtis, okay, let me just mention to Shell. Shell, sometimes, and I do this myself, people think that the frequency is 146.800, and the frequency is 146.805. And that would mean that if you are 600 down, you'd be transmitting on 146.205. So it's possible that you're just a little bit off frequency. That's just a thought. Let me turn over to Frank. Okay, you've heard Hank. And let's say Hank is less than enthusiastic about it. And now let's go over to N2BRA in the net, WN2RED. Frank, I'm going to take about a 30-second run upstairs. My water glass is empty, so please talk for at least 30 seconds.
All right, WN2RED, N2VRA. Let's see if I have it. Okay, well, the World Radio and TV Handbook did a review on it, as they did a review on many other receivers. Bottom line is that the bandwidths on the radio aren't quite wide enough for good selectivity. This is what they're talking about. However, the 394 is a better performer than the 390. They have found fault, the World Radio and TV Handbook, they've found fault in just about every radio that they examine or put in the lab or whatever. If you talk about the Drake SWAs, they really knocked that thing. And, you know, that's a $650 radio. If you're looking for basic shortwave reception, now I know Hank's going to say this doesn't have synchronous detection, and it doesn't. But for all practical purposes, if you're looking for an entry-level world band radio for $300, which is not a lot of money these days, it's not that bad of a radio. At the end of their review, they commented on its selectivity and sensitivity. So in one point, they're down in it, and the next minute, they're praising it. So I don't know what to say about it. You have a 30-day money-back guarantee with Radio Shack. What works well out here in Holbrook might not work the same, say, over by Hank in Plainview, depending upon, you know, the structures around you, the type of external antenna you use, whether you use an external whip or whatever, an amplifier. No two locations are going to produce the same result. So they're very critical in the lab, and they're very critical about those expensive radios also. When you get into $1,800 for a radio, and they're knocking it, I mean, I think an $1,800 radio should be flawless, but that's not the way it is. But this is a bottom-line radio. It's better than the 390. And 390, everybody seems to be happy with. So, it's not the best, but again, it's $300. And it looks good, too. But that's not the point. You want it to perform. I don't know what to tell you. You'd have to take a chance on it, hook it up, and if you like it, if it does what you want it to do, enjoy it. If not, take it back. N2VRA, back to that.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, I was upstairs so I could gasp another 45 minutes worth. When you were mentioning product reviews, were you talking about Larry Magnate and monitoring times, Frank?
Negative, Ed. I was talking about the review in the World Radio and TV Handbook on the DX394. If it has to do with Grove and they're selling in their catalog, they're going to tell you it's a great radio. Internet.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, Shell, assuming that you are still out there, and maybe if you were off frequency, we could hear you even better the next time. One other thought that I'd just like to add to what Frank and Hank have said. If you subscribe to Monitoring Times, you know that every month there is a product review by Larry Magnate. And I don't have my Monitoring Times pile in front of me right now, but it's quite possible that Larry Magni has done some product reviews on, or at least has done one, on the Radio Shack DX394. And Frank did mention the World Radio TV Handbook. There's a book that, again, Larry Magni edits, and it's called Passport, I think it's called Passport to World Band Radio. And in that has a lot of product reviews, too. And Magni pretty much speaks right from the shoulder. He goes out and buys these things, and it's not like the people give him gifts, and he wants to make people feel good about that. So, Shell, let's see if you have a little better signal now, and maybe you can make some comments or further questions. KB2URV in the net, WN2RED.
My question. Let me go to my phone. I have to answer my question. I just want to really add it on. But other than that, I'm just looking at it, which is a
second. Okay, Joe, I think what you said, again, it's a kind of ratty signal. I think you said that we pretty much answered the question for you, and I think you sort of picked out a course of action. Frank's thought about buying it at Radio Shack, but if you don't like it, bring it back. I think that's an excellent thought, too. The best thing to do is to try it out in your own home. And assuming that it does take an outdoor wire, let's say, for as an antenna, etc., you might find that you really like it. Let's go over to Frank for further comments at 2VRA. Go.
KWW, I'm going to comment.
Curtis recognizes. Frank, go.
All right, thank you, Ed. Curtis recognizes again. I think the book I read, it was in the Passport to World Band Radio. It's not the other one. It's one of those books, either the Passport or the World TV Handbook. I'm not sure. But they have quite an extensive review of certain radios that they decide to examine, so to speak. They mentioned more than once that being in the northeast part of the country, where we are, it tends to be an advantage without using an outside antenna. At night, the signals just come from Europe, come in here so much better than they would in the Midwest, and they would tend to overload the receiver with an outside antenna in the evening. If you listen to certain major broadcasters, the 394 is good for listening to the major world stations and for listening in on some DX on the ham band. It's not the greatest radio in the world, but yet you're talking $300 here. There are other radios out there which cost three times as much, which got a really bad review. So you have to just try it out and see if it works for you. If it does what you want it to do and you'll be happy and you like it, fine. You know, you could always move up to a 2010 or something with synchronous detection. You know, everybody has their varied interest into what they want to hear on the radio. And, you know, portable radios are a little bit more sensitive than tabletop ones due to their design. This is another thing they mentioned. So you have to be selective in what you buy. And when Hank really threw the brick through the window there, he doesn't like that radio. And I know there is a problem with the bandwidth. It's not being wide enough. But the selectivity and the sensitivity are very good, and it rejects strong signals that are adjacent frequencies into mod. It's supposed to reject into mod very well. So that's a plus. And it all depends on the type of antenna you use. If you're getting into mod on a long wire, use the telescopic inside and try that. It'll attenuate your signal and maybe reduce the problem. But again, every location is different, so I couldn't really comment on that. I'm wondering if Magni did a review on that in one of those modern times. It would be interesting to read that. So, okay, maybe Hank wants to comment on why it's kibosh, and Curtis can also add something to it. WN2RED in the skin and N2VRA.
KB2YTF with the passport review.
Okay, Mr. Chasing with the World Radio TV here. Look, review.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, let's I'm going to put GCS in front of Curtis. And KB2YGF, real nice clear signal. And you do have the review of the DX394 right in front of you. Could you give us your first name, and then would you give us, you know, paraphrased, whatever, the review of the 394? And thank you very much.
Okay, Ed, it's Scott. KB2 Yankee Tango Foxtrot. Okay, real quick, according to Passport, the advantages: low-priced, advanced tuning features include 160 tunable presets. Disadvantages: one hundredth kilohertz, size, lightweight, built-in telescopic antenna for its portable capability, superior shape factors and ultimate rejection,
two 24-hour clocks, one which shows independent frequencies, five programmable timers, snooze features, noise blanker, 30-day money-back trial period in the United States. Disadvantages. What appear to be four bandwidths turn out to be virtually one bandwidth and is too wide for optimum reception of many signals. Bandwidths such as they are not selectable independent of mode. No synchronous selectable sideband. Presets are cumbersome to use. Poor dynamic range for a tabletop, a potential problem in Europe and other strong signal parts of the world if an external antenna is used. Overall distortion, although acceptable, is higher than desirable. Back to Nat, KB2YTF.
Thank you very much, Scott. Sorry, I didn't recognize the fact that you had checked in earlier about the 7th check-in. Okay, and thank you very much for coming up with that. Okay, we still have GCN and WWM on board. Let's see if Shell is still within shouting distance out there. Let's see if how he copied and if he has any follow-up comments. KB2URV, Shell, are you still with us? WN2RED.
I'm going to ask him to try the upper input, the plus side at WWM.
Maybe I'll just save up for Kenwood, save up a long time for that, because I know that's an excellent rig, but I do appreciate and the experience with it, and I guess maybe I'll hold off on that and get some out. What is the
Okay, Scott, we got, Scott, I'll be all right. dear. Shell, we got most of that. It's funny, it kind of peaked for a while, and then it was pretty good, and then it, which makes me think you are mobile, you know, bad, good, bad, like that. We didn't quite get your last question. Could you give us your last question again?
M2XOJ.
Okay, Alex, if you know what his last question was, you can please come now, but if not, we are putting you on the right in the list here of the commenters. Over to you, Alex.
Hi, Ed. I just wanted you to know he's coming in gangbusters on the input, as though he's sitting in my living room, so Lord knows what's going on. M2XOJ.
I don't know what the plus is. Just add the positive shift to the radio. Add the positive shift. And he's full quieting over here as well on the input. So I'm not sure where your location is, Shell. But maybe you may want to try a positive shift. Back to net to WW.
All right, Shell, if you can come in at 600 up. In other words, take 146.805, add 600. And that comes, what, to 147.405. If you have one of those nice simple machines where you can go plus or minus, we have two stations that say they're copying you beautifully on the input. So obviously you aren't making it 600 down. If you can, Shell, I think you've got the information. That sounds pretty clear. And I think you've made up your mind what you want to do. And we'll still call on GCM WWM. But if you do want to make that move up to up 600, feel free. If not, we'll just pick up Hank and pick up Curtis, and then we'll move on. So let's turn it over to you, Shell, and see where it goes from here.
Hi, this is KB2URZ 600 up. I hope it's coming in better. I just want to thank you all for the information and all the time spent on giving product reviews and all, and I guess I'll hold off on it, and I'll save up for maybe a Kenwood or something like that. KB2URZ.
Super. Night and day. Winter and summer. That is, you were perfect, perfectly clear. So I don't know where you are, and I don't want to know where you are, But in the future, if you are pretty much in the same place, hey, hit that up to 600. You were, you know, as they say, DFQ. Super. Okay, Shell, and let's just go over to pick up Hank, and then we'll pick up Curtis, and that will be the end of it. I'm glad you were able to make it through, and I'm glad that we had the experts right on board. N2 GCN. Hank, take it away.
Thank you. W-N2 R-E-D, N2 GCN. Well, first off, I'm not going to put down any radio that doesn't have a single detection circuitry. The thing is, I've been listening to the reviews all along from the time it first was reviewed on Radio Netherlands Media Network to recently. I don't know where I deal with it around here. Somebody mailed me something, it may have been R, on the radio, follow up on it, and it showed just how bad it was. What I'm going to try to do is try to find, I figure where I put this slip of paper, track it down, I'll talk about more coming January 7th, but I wouldn't put down anything if I think it's a bad radio. If it's a good radio, I'll never put it down. Forget about the Sony 2010 or anything else like that. The point of the matter is, if it sticks in my mind, I know there's a great deal of problems with it a little after it came out. I can't begin to tell you. There was a lot of stuff about the radio. It's not the fact it has anything to do with where you're at. It's the way that how well the radio works and how bad it works. And it stands on my mind right this very moment how bad that radio really is. If you wish to take a chance on it, that's fine, but for $300, I wouldn't take a chance on it, but it already has a reputation. I wish, I had no idea, because the question was going to be asked, I would have had the information. I have no idea where I put it, that bothers me, but right off the top of my head, I know it's a bad radio. It does have a lot of problems, and well, let me read this off a little bit. This is from the World Radio TV Handbook. Alignment difficulties and more. We found apparent receiver alignment problems in the SSB and CW modes on three receivers. The dial readout was an error. For example, we tuned in amateur radio nets at 14336, kilohertz up the sideband 7240. The readout was 14335.0 and 7240.2, respectively. We checked the third unit, serial number 6773, and had tuned to 14335.2 and 7239.2. The dial discrepancies conclude using single sideband filter as a means of signal reception, tuning an AM signal in sideband mode to reduce interference on one sideband without retuning. That discussion with radio, we talked about radio check, with the external antenna, additional problems were noted with some medium wave harmonics, particularly with a 50 kilohertz station on 1210 kilohertz, 15 kilometers or 10 miles distant. Connecting a band stop filter to between the external antenna and the receiver significantly reduced it. That's just a smatter of what I've read, or the information I received from somebody. It could have been from R. I mean, I know I put it away someplace. I'll have to locate it and say more about it on January 7th, but it's just a caution. If there's ones that purchase, I can't stop them. The idea of the information I'm putting out, or anybody puts out, is to let you know what you're going to get. If you're going to get a real clunker, does it pay? I don't know. It's my opinion. Thank you. WN2RED, N2GCN, over you.
UVV? Okay, Charlie, recognize. Thank you, Hank. And let's go over to Curtis. Curtis, all yours.
Very good. I wanted to just jump in there, and I got some info, Ed. I didn't mention it before. I got one frequency that I caught this week, and just was wondering if I got any alerts. Did anybody catch anything on the overturn tractor trailer that was up the other day in Suffolk County? I had to go to work this morning, so I didn't catch anything up on the Valley Stream spill. But that was pretty big, and they only got one frequency, and they were probably using that frequency as well as the one they were using on the other day up on the LIE. Just want to say, Shell, you really sound good. Program that up plus site in there. If you transmit from that location, you full quieting on that last transmission. That works for you. Back to net and to WWM.
Thank you, Curtis, and I have marked you with info. We'll pick you up in a few minutes. Charlie, KB2 UVV in the net, WN2 RED.
Thanks, Ed. Yeah, just two quick things I want to pass on to Shell. First, if you're looking for like a first-time shortwave radio, a good one, and not spend too much money, what you might want to try is the Grundig Yacht Boy 400. Now, that radio goes for, it's roughly $200, but with the holidays and all, if you keep your eyes peeled like with the Wiz, they sell it over there, you might get it for like $179 or $189. It's an excellent radio. It's a good first shortwave radio, and I got it right here as I'm speaking. I have out last year's Passport to World Band Radio, and they give it 3 stars. And they also, it's a good, it's a Passport choice, for more bang for the buck, if you would, you know. It's a real good radio, and there's a lot of good pluses to it, and it's something, even if you go more expensive down the road, it's something you'll still have. You know, it's small enough, and as you know, for the size, it's good sound quality. So that's one thing to think about, Shell. Also, if I could, real quick, if you have access to a computer on the Internet, if you could access the website for Radio Netherlands, and they do product review. They have files on any shortwave radio that you could think of, and you might want to, if you have a computer and or a friend, somebody in the family, you might want to go that route and look around on the Radio Netherlands website, and you can look at the reviews they have. Back over to you, Ed, KB2UEV.
Thank you, Charlie. All right, I think that covers what Shell was looking for, a wide diversity of opinions, and people bringing up good points and having some background and having some backup, in other words, in terms of reviews and so forth and so on. So, Shell, it was an interesting question, and as Curtis said, should spend the rest of your life, at least from the Net's point of view, on up 600. Okay. Just want to remind everybody again that there will be no Net next week, Christmas Eve. There will be no Net the following week, New Year's Eve. The next Net that we're going to have will be on January 7th, 1997. We're all getting older. Got a piece of fan mail here from James in Elmont, and has some AMDX, which we'll treat later on when we get to AMDX. 2 points he brings up. Number one, he says, listen to Elmont Taxi on 462.025, the repeater system. Make sure you put this frequency into your scanner. It goes for everyone on the Net. Pete is the morning and afternoon dispatcher. It's about 6 to 6.30 p.m. on most days. And Billy comes in around 6 p.m. to 6.30 and works till about 6.30 a.m. in the morning. God help him. Both these guys are very funny about comments they make about different people they pick up. And he says there's also a woman dispatcher named Judy who works only a few days a week. So 462.025, according to James, some pretty good entertainment value. He says, now, question for Frank into VRA. Frank, listen up. Do you still have all the frequencies of baby monitors written down? Because I had them on a piece of paper and wrote them down last time. Gave out all of them, but I lost a piece of paper. So, Frank, can you please give all the baby monitor freaks out again for me? Thanks a lot. Frank, do you have these at hand, or is this something that you could bring back next week sometime into VRA? All yours.
Yeah, into VRA. Ed, let me take a look on the shelf over here. I think I might have them right handy. I'll get back to you in 30 seconds.
Okay, and in the meantime, let's see. After Shell, we have Rich in the Bronx, and Rich came in with a query. So KB2ZNQ, Rich, all yours.
Hello, Ed. Thanks, Ed, and greetings to all on the net. Last week or the week before, someone had mentioned some new frequencies that were allocated to New York City for different agency uses. I had them in for a while. I didn't have any luck on them, but I misplaced them too. I guess it's the lost frequency night. I wonder if anybody has those handy, and if they did listen in on them, did they have any luck on any of the frequencies at all?
Okay, that's a toughie, because I don't know about other people, but generally what I do, I keep notes on different sheets of paper and so forth and so on, and it would mean, you know, having to go look, and I think this is probably true of most of these people. But as I speak, perhaps somebody has been, and also it's a little vague as to what we are looking for right now. But New York City frequencies, let me just drop it and get out of the way of somebody who might be trying to get in with the answer.
KB2YTF, Ed, do you want to just give me a rundown real quick of the frequencies? I had to step out for a second. I have a whole New York City list here.
Okay. That's Scott, KB2YTF. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, let's bring back Rich again. Rich, do you have a recollection of, other than New York City, what type of frequencies they were? Over to you, Rich.
I think they were going to be for fire and city police, but just the range would be fine, and I don't need all the individual frequencies. The range would be nice.
Okay, Ed, may I have permission in a second?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Scott. I was, you know, just kind of hesitating there to trying to frame a thought. Yes, Scott, go over to you, and the trouble with my file with my filing system is that I get so much paper, and I'm very fortunate that way. But usually, after something is used on the net, if something is usable on the net and only on the net, it's aired on the net and frequently then finds its way into the wastebasket because I just can't keep paper. If something can be also used in the newsletter, then it goes into a newsletter file. And that's what my problem is, trying to recall the information. Everything's done on a computer. So, Scott, back to you.
Okay, very good. You have such a wide range of frequencies for the two of them. And that's pretty much barring the 800 trunked also, by the way. New York Fire usually runs around 153 to the upper 154s. And NYPD in general runs around 465 to, in some cases, 471, 472. What I was going to say is if you have an email address or some way for me to email couple files to you, I could give you a file attachment that has all those frequencies available. Matter of fact, I have about the list I'm holding in front of me has 300 different frequencies for various agencies, but I know in my ICOMs I'm running closer to 600 frequencies. Back to that KB2YTF. If he has an email, I can send it to him.
Okay.
Thank you, Scott, and that sounds like Mark in there, so we'll recognize Mark in a moment or two. Up until some time ago, as part of our call-up to the net, we used to recommend that you tape record the net. And if everybody tape recorded the net, there are some people who are doing it, I know, because they have told me, and generally it's special circumstances, they're not going to be home. And they set up the tape recorder, voice activated, all that jazz, and they have a tape of the net. Some people keep those tapes for a long time. So if you really want to catch everything that's going on the net week after week after week, audio taping it would probably be the only solution. Other than that, it's once the information is given out on the air, it's tough to bring it back, except for the items which then show up in the newsletter, et cetera, et cetera. But to try to recall last week or 2 weeks ago or a month or so ago, it's rare for us to be able to do that. Okay, let's pick up Mark. Mark generally has some good ideas, so KB2ZKT in the net. Yeah, that's Mark. In the net, WN2RED. Mark, go.
The name tag in my shirt says it's definitely me. I think what he's talking about is that last week, or at a recent net, we gave out the new New York City 480 megahertz channels, which are going to be used by a PD and fire department and probably EMS, and God knows who else by the time this all gets done. Basically, that's a range of from 482.0375 through 484.9375 in 25 kilohertz steps. And if your radio doesn't have 25 kilohertz, 12.5 will do just fine. Now, there's a lot of stuff up there now, but none of it seems to be New York City related. It's taxi services and whatever, that kind of stuff up there now. So you might want to plug those frequencies in. As a search range, check it out and see what comes up. There's a whole frequencies I don't think it'll be worth giving out every single one of them. KB2ZKT.
Thank you, Mark. That what you just said kind of rang a bell. And my only thought is I probably would not have thrown those away because that's an item that you can kind of easily drop into a future newsletter. But to find that piece of paper now with this little mountain of information we have here is impossible. Just to go off onto Rich's question, just to go off on a tangent, I had a question some time ago from somebody who did ask about the New York PD frequencies, and he said, are they only being, is digital the only method being used on these, or is voice being used? So, since we got you, Mark, and since you came up with that good answer just now, would it be your thought, or is it your observation that these newer frequencies are being used, or would be used much more on digital than on voice? Over to you, Mark.
As I understand it right now, it probably will not be digital except for surveillance use and some, like, internal investigation, internal affairs, and that kind of thing. But I'm pretty sure for the most part it'll be in the clear analog voice channels. KB2ZKT.